October 20th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. This is episode number two on this Monday autumn evening, where fall finally feels like it's arrived after the cool temps came in yesterday. I am your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, and I am coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beloved Banting Park office. I am again joined by the mighty Max Martinson, my faithful producer, who's getting ready for an exciting camping trip. So we got to carve out some time to talk about that on this podcast. He's going to be in Door County. And again, This Week in Waukesha is a Civic Media production put together in with cooperation from WAUK Radio, 540 AM and 101.3 FM. And as I was saying in the first podcast, the revolution will not be televised, but it will be broadcast on Civic Media with its fine offering of podcasts and radio shows. And I encourage all of you to take advantage of them. There's a lot of really terrific shows and very informative news programs that you really need to take advantage of. So make sure go to civicmedia.us and download the Civic Media app if you haven't already too, because then you can take Civic Media wherever you go. And I know Max will have it going when he's out there camping in Door County. So when we left off the first podcast, we were about to jump into the big event of what was a pretty busy news week, you know, or in Waukesha. We had a tombstone trot at Prairie Home Cemetery. We had the No Kings protest at Cutler Park in downtown Waukesha that had over 3,000 attendees. And, you know, just and some beautiful weather as we transition from this Indian summer into the fall while we were enjoying the last rites of high school football regular season on Friday night and so much more. But the big news, unfortunately, was happened last Friday when 15th District Alderman Rico Camacho posted a warning on social media, Facebook, and it says, "Everyone, please stay alert. Stay inside. ICE is in Waukesha on the corner of People's Park. They are under been removed. Are photos of men that were believed to be ICE undercover agents, if you will. We would learn that the men in question were employees of a private security firm who were involved in this part I'm not sure about. It was either training exercises or advance work for a visit from a high-profile person that requires a fair level of security. Now, I also understand that they went into restaurants like People's Park and some other restaurants and bars and asked if they could see the bathrooms as well as the other all the exits to the building. And you know, that is kind of peculiar enough, but they definitely weren't ICE. And county sheriffs, Waukesha County sheriffs, confirmed that, as well as a co-worker of these gentlemen from the same company who happens to work, one of his clients is a downtown organization, and he was showing the post, and he confirmed who all these guys were. So a few hours after that, Alderman Camacho put out this post, and it said, "So I want to be clear that I received information from concerned constituent because there was a belief that ICE was by People's Park. I was completely incorrect that these people were not ICE agents. I should have done my due diligence and checked to verify, but I overreacted. I apologize to anyone and the men in the photo going to lunch that may have felt a potential harm to the situation. I will ensure I take this as a learning opportunity and take full responsibility for this." Now, full disclosure, Alderman Camacho and I had kind of a, shall we say, a disagreement in which he felt that I was threatening him and that wasn't true. And I'm only saying this is because I bear no grudge against Alderman Camacho. I actually applaud much of what he's trying to do and his presence on social media, maybe some have been critical of, but I'd rather have an alderman that's upfront and personal and really gets out to engage the community and the neighbors than a majority of aldermen who don't answer phone calls from constituents And the only time you'll see him is on the is at a city council meeting or one of the committee meetings. So I do bear no, shall I say, any ill will towards Alderman Camacho. We both serve on the cemetery commission. We have since seen each other face to face. It was actually at the Les Paul birthday party. We spoke briefly, and I think it was very pleasant. So I don't want any of this to be perceived as me, like, you know, on the revenge tour, because Alderman Camacho was not available for to be on the podcast during his campaign for his first term. So now that that's been cleared up, again, Alderman Camacho admitted that he should have verified the information he received. He apologized. But where many people are still critical is that, and where I'm very concerned is that it's a kind of situation, unfortunately, where the horses have left the barn, the trains have left the station. I'm mixing up my metaphors here. This initial act shined a big bright light on Waukesha. It's basically highlighted or reinvigorated the immigration debate at the local level, and I'll get back to that in a second. Many businesses closed in reaction to the initial claim, and you can't get insurance for lost business of this kind, at least not to my knowledge. And again, I was a restaurant operator for years, and I knew how to file claims if we had a fire in the restaurant and had to close the kitchen for a few hours, and our insurance helped reimburse us for money that we lost. I don't think there's any type of program for this for when there's a misrepresentation of ICE being in the community. So, but going back to the immigration issue, some people were upset because they thought that Alderman Camacho was warning people that we're here illegally. Now, I have certain views on that that may be seen as left of center, and I make no apologies because I'm a child of immigrants. But the problem is we've seen this, is that ICE is apprehending people of color, of certain political views, even people of the media that have credentials. They're being apprehended. Their homes are being broken into. They're being there is no due process of law. There's no search warrants. There's no. This is like the black and tan of my Irish families of the days of the War for Independence. And black and tans, for those of you that were World War I vets, that just, you know, nobody wanted them because they were psycho killers, or they're just, you know, they were. The British found good use for them in places like Ireland and in Palestine to basically get, you know, they're basically given licenses to kill and to hurt people. And that's essentially how the Black and Tans operated in Ireland and in Palestine in the early 20th century, during the 1920s or late 19-teens. And it's very much how ICE is behaving today. So illegal or legal is immaterial to me. We have a group of again, I can't even call them a legally operating organization, that are preying on people, legal or illegal, that aren't really, that are basically working to try to provide for their families and make a better lives for themselves in this country. Without getting too far off track, is that when we have this talk about, oh, I don't mind if they come here as long as they're here legally, no one's asking the real questions. Why are these people coming illegally? And I'm willing to guess that there's no like DMV type of bureaucracy. They can go and wait in line and get their passport or their visa or their residency to come to America. They're escaping very violent, turbulent, impoverished situations. And some of them don't have the days or weeks or months that it would require to get the proper paperwork to come here. So, but anyway, getting back on focus here, that... what else are we saying here? I know, is that one of the things I had a hard time with as an alderman myself is that alders are held to a higher standard, and perhaps they should be. They are elected representatives of the people. I do believe that wholeheartedly. Aldermen have what we call in HR terms a high accountability for error. And what that means is that, you know, why do surgeons get paid the big bucks, brain surgeons or heart surgeons? Because they have a very high accountability for error. There's really no margin for error in that type of work. And it's very much like that for our elected officials who vote on, what's the budget here, $700 million or something like that. And, you know, make very difficult decisions, popular and unpopular, that have a big impact on our city's future. The problem is, and this is where I do, you know, cut some slack for Alderman Camacho and the other alders, is that they are not compensated for having a high accountability for error. Rico Camacho and the other alders do not, cannot support their families on an aldermanic salary of $7,500 per year. And when I was in the council, it was $7,000. So, you know, maybe we're not getting our best and brightest, but we do get people that care enough to serve, because these are supposed to be part-time positions, but they're not part-time. I know as an alder, you can get a call at any time of day with a concern, sometimes in the middle of the night, and you have to act on it. And, you know, we have to account for that, that these people are actually more human than the high-level, you know, U.S. senators and congressmen that have robust staffs. Our executive branch, you know, all those people that they've got the resources to maybe react more professionally in situations like this than what Alderman Camacho had at his avail. So it's just something to think about. And the idea too is, you know, I see these people on Facebook on either side offering criticism and sometimes real, real nasty stuff. And I say, you know what? Go to city clerk and fill out the paperwork. You only need 20 signatures to run for aldermanic office. There are some seats open. You put yourself out there and show us how you can do it better. Or at least try. If you have a vision for this city and this country that you believe to be the right one, then put your money where your mouth is. Otherwise, showing up on Facebook and trashing elected officials or trashing each other, which oftentimes is too, it does us all a big disservice. So, to borrow from Roy Kent, from Ted Lasso, you know, while Rico, while what he did was very wrong and inexcusable, I give him love. And as for why he did it, I have some reasons. I certainly don't question the intent, because I certainly have very similar views when it comes to people that make this country what it is. We are a nation of immigrants, and there's really no going back on that. So we always have been. And by the way, the first immigrants were white people. So some things to think about as we move forward, as brothers and sisters of Waukesha, as American citizens, and as brothers and sisters of space. So real quick, just taking a, I guess we'd say a little pause here, you know, a lighthearted pause. We promised Max a couple minutes to talk about his big trip to Door County to get away from it all and to camp. So tell us about it, Max.
Yeah, we're heading up. It's not really necessarily camping. We're doing more of a glamping style of things. Okay. So we'll be heading up to a campsite where it has like little built-in tents, so we won't have to actually go up there with our own space. But gonna do some cooking, gonna do some hiking, just kind of chilling out in the super nice weather before it gets cold, and enjoying some of the fall colors.
There you go. That sounds great. How many people are you going with?
It's just me and one of my friends from school.
Sounds good. That should be fun, and hopefully you'll have nice weather.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. So some other kind of house cleaning, if we are, some other news to catch up on. It looked like we were going to have Bev Anderson from Ebenezer Child Care was going to speak. It was going to appear tonight, but we had our dates wrong, and I accept responsibility for that. So yeah, podcast hosts make mistakes too. But we are going to try to have her on in the next couple of weeks, because she's talking about a very important topic, and that's the state of our child care in light of a lot of the federal cuts and the impact it's having on Wisconsin families and families in Waukesha County. So we're really looking forward to having her on. So we haven't forgotten her. At some point too, we're going to have Stephanie Larson on as well. As many of you remember, she was, she's one of the longest running business owners in downtown Waukesha. Her store has been around for more than 40 years. And, she was first on my radio show after a verdict was rendered in a trial she was involved in. A year before that, she was sexually assaulted in her own store by someone that had just gotten out of jail, took the bus to Waukesha and walked right into her store and assaulted her. And then, you know, luckily he was apprehended and was sentenced to 50 years in jail. And I remember the judge saying that, you know, he's sorry that he won't live long to see this guy die in jail or something like that. It was really very emotional trial. And obviously people were upset in Waukesha that a business owner, you know, what we believe is a safe downtown area, that something like that could happen. But, Stephanie wants to come on at some point because, the assailant that was convicted has requested another trial and may have a chance at a second trial, a retrial, because of some information about Stephanie had to do some surgeries as a result of the assault. And because those took place before the trial, there wasn't physical evidence there. And so they want to dismiss evidence from a police officer or someone or a medical official that was talking about Stephanie's condition. And I don't see how it's relevant in terms of what this guy did and changing the narrative on what he did. But anyway, you know, Stephanie wanted to come on sooner, and I advised her to wait until after. There's a hearing coming up on October 27th, a week from today, I believe. And when we know more about that, that may be an appropriate time. Stephanie's lawyer said it was okay for her to come on my show, but he advised against it. And so did the legal experts at Civic Media as well, that we don't want to throw more gas on the fire. That would affect her case and her search for ultimate justice, which she thought was already taken care of more than a year ago. So we're looking forward to that, and you can look forward to that too. And again, if you have a story to tell, we want to hear it. And so it's really been, like I said, there's been a lot to talk about tonight because of everything that happened in town this week. And of course, the big issue, the big kind of living room discussion throughout Waukesha has been what had happened with Alderman Camacho and some misperceptions of ICE's presence here in our city. And just a couple of days after that, we had a No Kings rally. And so it was, you know, like I said, pretty pretty interesting week for sure. And so in the 2 minutes I have left, I want to thank everybody for listening in. And again, can't say enough. If you got a story to tell, we want to hear it. And especially as we head towards the holidays, there's a lot of great Waukesha stories that I really hope that we have a chance to hear from you and share. And just, you know, look me up on civicmedia.us or on my Facebook page. And we'd love to hear from you. So as we look forward to Halloween, let's not forget Halloween is a week and a half away. Be sure to look out for all the big celebrations. One observation we didn't have a chance to go to was in downtown Waukesha from 3 to 7 on Saturday was the Walktober. It was kind of a walk through downtown businesses and enjoying the offerings of the eateries and restaurants and bars. And they do it every year, and we regret that we couldn't sign up in time, and it already sold out. But congrats to all those businesses, and it looks like they had amazing weather for it too. And so in the midst of everything going on, there was still time for fun here in the Shaw and in downtown Waukesha. And so put that in your calendars for next year. And the next show we'll talk about what's going on here in the Shaw on Halloween, some things you can take advantage of. And how are we doing, Max? Are we down to 1 minute here? Sounds good. Well, again, I want to thank everybody for being a part of this podcast and this story. And again, we want to hear your story too. I bet you have one to tell. I want to thank my producer, the mighty Max Martinson, and wishing him a safe and wonderful trip up in Door County.
Thank you, sir.
And again, as we go towards Halloween and the holidays, please remember, as always, safety is everybody's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Go Ramila Mahagav Galer, and see ya!